Welcome everybody to another episode of Surrender Five Podcast. Yes, we really be pushing these episodes out. We've done so many shows in the past 2 weeks. Every show has been great, but I'm really excited for this one. We got a big time guest today. This morning, I really want to welcome in someone special, Pokemon lover, shoutcaster, and someone I aspire to be in the sense of an entrepreneur and get myself to the next level. I'm really excited for this one. Everybody, welcome the one and only Artisan to the show. Welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I really appreciate you.
Excited to be here.
Thank you. So I'm excited too. For me, it's a little earlier in the morning, but for you, like we're 13 hours apart. 13
yeah,
hours.
Yeah.
So you are in our special bubble class of people who we really adore because you're doing the show so much later. You're with Kelosaurus and Miss Cutie.
Right.
Because the hour difference is so huge. Like, we really appreciate you guys coming on and doing the show. So I want to ask, how are you doing today? How's it going? How's your day been?
It was pretty good. It was a pretty long day, you know. It's kind of like Monday things where like work is really busy, everyone's getting ready for the week, that kind of thing. So it's been a pretty long day, but yeah, nice to be here just chilling at night, at least before sleep
time. Yeah. Good way to wind down and relax. I feel that. So a lot of people who are in Unite know who you are, know the things you've done. So I kind of want to start from a different angle and then build into that. So let's step aside from Unite right now. I want to ask, besides Pokemon Unite, if there are any, what other games are you currently playing aside from Unite?
Currently, I'm playing Valorant with some friends.
Okay.
It's my first FPS, so I don't usually play FPS at all, so it's quite new to me. Other than that, I'm also playing a little bit of Auto Chess and TFT. Well, mostly Auto Chess because the TFT servers aren't up for APEC yet. But yeah, so a lot of variety of games. I think recently my friends have been asking me to play some Left 4 Dead 2 or so. So like some old games here and there. But yeah, just trying out a whole bunch of genres of games now. But mobiles are usually the games that I play.
That's awesome. When you mentioned Auto Chess, I just had like the biggest like suppressed memory come up. So me and my daughter, what is this, 3 years ago, we used to like play Auto Chess on a tablet. I was looking around as if the tablet was within reach, and I was really getting obsessed with it, and at the same time I was playing Hearthstone. But then Hearthstone released a different mode called Battlegrounds, I think it's called Battlegrounds, and I started to play that, and it totally took me away from Auto Chess. And I literally forgot about that game. Right. Not that it's not good, but I just remember like how much fun I was having with it. So like, thank you. And this is why I built the show notes this way, because I want to hear what other games Unite streamers and content creators are playing so I can dabble in some other stuff. But that's such a good memory. Thank you. Auto Chess, love that stuff. It's so cool. I may not have been the greatest, but it just felt cool when you get three of the same and you build them up and now they're more powerful. It's cool stuff. But yeah, good list right there. I've never played Valorant. I'm not good with keyboard, mouse type setups. My hands cramp up.
Or I don't really play keyboard mouse games either.
Oh, you got a controller?
No. But I think for Valorant, you can only play it with your keyboard and mouse.
You're saying...
Yeah, it's definitely like not something that I'm very comfortable with.
It's
just fun to play games with friends, you know?
Oh, no
and
doubt.
A lot of people are playing Valorant as well.
Yeah, playing with friends, I think, makes everything so much better. Not just to make fun of Pokemon Unite, because a lot of things people come on the show and we all talk about this, it sounds like digs at Pokemon Unite, but it's just the truth. Games with friends is so much more fun. I want to ask, speaking of Unite, before we get to the Unite, how did you get into the world of Pokemon? What was your entry? How did you start?
My entry to Pokemon, probably when I was a really small kid. My dad plays a lot of game as well. So he kind of brought back a Game Boy with his Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue, or something like that. Or was it green? I think red and green. And he's the kind of dad who would kind of play everything until he completes the decks, until every Pokemon is 100 before he would let us play it. So me and my brother would just watch him play for a lot of like, time that we had as a kid. until we could finally play on our own. And then I think I started with yellow, which was apparently a lot harder.
Okay.
Because of the Pikachu and like,
oh,
like basically my dad didn't try it. He thought it was the same thing, but it was so hard.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my entry to Pokemon, and of course the animation as well. Just, you know, watching Ash through all the years and finally seeing him become the champion just recently.
Oh yeah.
Was quite nice to have for sure.
Such a cool arc.
It's been a very long time. I think it's really what Pokemon is, one of the things that kind of got me started in games and everything. Yeah, it goes all the way back for sure.
Man, this is so funny. I'm trying not to laugh too much for the recording, but let me get this right. You said that your dad was a heavy influence and he was a completionist, and he was at the level where he wouldn't let anyone touch the Game Boy until he finished it himself. Yo.
Yeah, I think it was more to make sure that me and my brother, we don't spend too much time playing games. But he was also one who was a lot at the same time.
So it works both ways. It works both ways. Don't let the kids play too much, which means I can play more. I respect your dad. That's so cool. Because I know a lot of people growing up, for me, their parents weren't into gaming, and they took it as, you know, if you play video games, you couldn't become smart. But me over here, I'm just like, I don't know if y'all know, but you kind of need to like read video games when you play them and understand what's going on. So maybe it's the kind of games I was playing, and I just felt different about it. But Pokemon, there's no way I was never not going to play it. I love Pokemon. So real quick, what country or region do you reside in? Because you mentioned Pokemon Green, so I'm curious.
I think Green was like the bootleg version. Because like, I stay in APAC, I stay in Singapore, but I studied in China for a while. My dad was sent there to work, so yeah, that was why we have a lot of like games coming out.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, I was mostly in Singapore as well, so it's APAC.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because we had I Will Lift on the show, and he was mentioning Pokemon Green. And I was like, I remember seeing the artwork when I was a kid, but I never actually had it in my hands. I only had red and blue, and all the kids at school were always jealous of hearing about this legendary Pokemon Green. And there was one kid at school who actually had the cartridge, but he would like show everybody, but he'd be like this in his hand. He's like, you can see it, but you can't touch it. Cause like, you know, like someone might take it. It is like, like no one I knew in growing up in America, like ever had the cartridge of Pokemon Green. So I remember that one kid in elementary school, and he was just like, Tia, but you can't touch it. It's mine. Oh man. That's really cool though.
Yeah. I think the different regions have different versions and stuff.
So that's a very cool, intro to Pokemon. How did you get into shoutcasting? You know, I know a little bit about you, but the world may not know, so we're going to get into that. How did you get into shoutcasting?
Well, it was, to be fair, I think Pokemon Unite was the first game that I've shoutcasted for. So it really started with like the community in Singapore. There was already some shoutcasters then.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that I started streaming when Pokemon Unite started. It was kind of the game that I was only streaming at that point. And yeah, the community was very close knit.
Yeah.
And it just happened that I used to play Lucario a lot, and we were doing these 1v1 practices together, preparing for like community tournaments that were happening in Singapore. And it was pretty fun. And then we started to do a bit of fun casting over that 1v1, 2v2 kind of situations that we were doing on stream. And then it just so happened that there was a shoutcasting event happening. It was an 8-week course that was happening with one of the youth organizations. So that kind of piqued my interest. And then that was kind of how we started in it. They went through like the basics of shoutcasting. And then we also had a little bit of experience. That was kind of like the start of it. It was all kind of just for fun, just for the community. That's kind of how I started. And then now I guess it's pretty interesting to see how far things have gone from just, you know, doing things on stream for fun to shoutcasting for community events, and now also for like the Unite Battle Hub for different regions as well. It's really not something that I expected when I first started out in streaming and shoutcasting as well.
That's so cool. I've never thought about shoutcasting. I of course I know about it. I enjoy streaming, podcasting. I think, like, if a brain is a puzzle piece, I think my brain is missing a few. So I know there are points, like, I've done community casting and, you know, color commentation, whatever, but watching you and people on that level, I'm just like, I really would have to do, like, nothing else and just, like, hard focus on that. To me, that is one of the most talented and creative positions a person can do, and I really respect it. I think you really have to have, like, a different type of intellect to be able to tap into that. So, like, applause to you and everyone who does it. Seriously, you do a great job. Seriously.
Thanks. And I think it's also because, like, nobody really sees how much effort people put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the amount of hours you kind of look at people's gameplay or
yeah.
just getting to know the moves. And it's really good that now at least you have, like, UniteDB, Unite API to kind of find out a little bit more about players as well as, you know, the Pokemon and the characters, what their moves are and all that kind of stuff. And those things really help to kind of build up that kind of knowledge. And it's not, I don't think it's something comes naturally per se, but definitely something that I think personally is very fun to do, and also to kind of just see the community come together at a kind of worldwide kind of scale is just something that I enjoy a lot.
When you say it's something that doesn't come naturally, you are hitting the nail on the head. I don't think it comes naturally. I think there are only a special amount of people in the world who have the talent to tap into, like, their inner self and, like, find a way to get better at it. Sure, everyone could, like, do it in practice, but, like, it's different when you could. So I stream in the kitchen. It's different when you got your headset in and you're doing dishes or making some food and you can't see the screen, and someone is shoutcasting. And they're so good at it, they literally draw you away from whatever you're doing. You got to go see what's on screen. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Stuff like that. Because, you know, all right, guys, 2-minute mark. Rayquaza came up. Everybody's got their ults. Get ready. Let's go. Like, that's easy, you know? Like, the kind of stuff you're doing, others are doing. Like, Doopsnack, Spraggles, Zoinks. Like, you guys are on, like, another level. And I really appreciate you guys. It's so cool. Like, I think shoutcasting is one of the most coolest things out there in any video game community. Good stuff, honestly.
Yeah, like, I think if talking about shoutcasting, it's not something that I thought that I would do as well. Like, I mean, yeah. As I grew up playing MOBAs with friends as well, watching, I think one of the MOBAs that inspires me quite a lot is Dota 2.
Okay.
That's kind of where I started on MOBAs in general, and like watching the shoutcasters from Dota is just very inspirational because of how much experience they have and how much knowledge they bring to the table. And just to see it kind of translate to like a game like Pokemon Unite was really nice to see as well. Like, each game has its own community, and it's very nice to see how encouraging they can be to all these people who kind of want to make a career out of it.
Right. So for everybody listening on audio, we have today special guest Artisan on the show. Really excited for this. Come watch this on YouTube. It's our Nerd 5 podcast, so you can get the full effects. As you guys will see here, we got Celebi on the screen. And why do we have Celebi? Artisan, what is your favorite Pokemon?
So we talked about this before the stream started, and I kind of decided on Celebi. Okay, honestly, there's so many Pokemon right now, and there's so many Pokemon that I really like.
Yeah.
But Celebi was one of the Pokemon that kind of like stuck through, I think, mainly from the movies. I think we were talking about this on stream yesterday as well. People were asking as well, and I said Celebi, and they were like, why is it not like from, why are you remembering Celebi instead of like the first Pokemon movie, right? Because those were the movies that I kind of grew up with. And okay. The first movie, the one with Mewtwo, was also like so amazing. But Celebi one was just kind of like really heart-wrenching and I think really meaningful, and I loved it so much.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, that's wholesome. You know, listen, guys out there, okay? She picked Celebi, that's what it is. I think Celebi is cool. Celebi actually, so I guess I can call them like the pixie Pokemon. like Selby was my first like little miniature favorite until I saw Victini. Mm-hmm. When I saw Victini, oh man, I was like, listen guys, like Victini's got it, man. The peace sign, the V for victory, can't undefeated, can't beat it. I love it so much. Victini's cool stuff. I think Celebi's awesome. The time traveler. I think. Wait, isn't Celebi? Oh, he's got a follower in chat. We got Lupin Strike. Lupin, welcome to the stream. Right now we have Artisan on Surrender 5 Podcast. I appreciate you guys coming through and supporting us. Like I was saying, wasn't Celebi the original time traveler? Like before Dialga and Palkia and all them came in, time warp dimensions and all that stuff. Yeah. Right? Yeah. See? Celebi is the OG. Love it.
The OG.
Yeah, man. Can't hate on the OGs. Come on. They set up the game. So let's get into Pokemon Unite. When did you start playing Pokemon Unite? What's your favorite class? What do you like to do when you approach the game? Is it solos, trios, five stacks? What's your vibe with Unite?
I played Unite. So I started as a solo player, like when it first started, because I didn't know there was like a community in Singapore at the very least.
Okay.
At the time when I started playing, I played like Absol. Oh my gosh.
Absol?
Must have been a disaster. Yeah, I played Absol. I played a lot of Zeraora as well. It was so OP then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was so insanely strong. So, gotta abuse the OP mod.
Oh, most definitely.
You want to get up the ranks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it was in the first season that I found out that there was a community in Singapore. And that's when I joined them. And then that was when I first started playing as trios, as five stacks. And I think that was really something that I enjoy a lot more.
Yeah.
Personally, I still play a lot more three stacks and five stacks compared to solo queue.
Okay.
It's just a lot more fun with friends. And then you can comms and everything like that. It's so important. And yeah, so nowadays, usually I play top lane. I mean, it kind of started with Lucario, but the main reason I was playing Lucario was because it wasn't really because I wanted to, but my team at the time, we had an all-girls, all-females team in Singapore, and that was kind of what we were pushing for, and nobody wanted to play top lane Lucario. And like, Lucario was the Pokemon that you needed in every single team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was you know what? I will play Lucario.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so hard.
Yep.
It was so hard. Also because I play on the Switch and not mobile. So like it's always very easy to have that snapback and like all the misaims and all that kind of stuff. And your extreme speed just doesn't hit.
The snapback. Oh my God. The snapback. It still happens to me to this day. Oh, I'm playing Slowbro currently. And before I evolve, I got the Water Gun and Slowpoke. And I wind it up. I'm getting ready to hit that farm. And then boom, goes that way. Like, hey, wait.
Yeah.
But the guy's over there.
Yeah. That's like classic Switch player problems. I think a lot of people have switched to mobile, but I kind of like playing on the bigger screen.
Really?
So that's kind of why I still play on the Switch.
I didn't think about that. People switching to mobile because they're getting sick of snapback. Maybe I'm just a crazy guy who will just deal with it. I don't know. I have the pro controller. I got the Ethernet. I think I put too much time and money into the setup to be like, no, I'm not going to use it now. I'm choosing to deal with it. I'm going to suck it up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't believe in it at first. I thought it was all excuses. I was like, no, snapback, stop it. But yeah, it happens to me all the time. Hey, Siri, take a break for now. Sorry, my iPhone's going crazy right now. It's all good. All right, so I want to ask, are you affiliated with any esports or organizations or grassroots effort teams?
Currently, I am with OKC. Not sure if you guys have heard. The full name is Oklahoma City Charge. I'm not in the U.S., but it is a U.S. organization who is trying to grow the Pokemon Unite scene. So a few of us are there as well. Some of the other streamers as well. Castastic, I think, is also a Pokemon Unite streamer under this name.
Yes, shout out to Castastic. So, yeah,
we do content with them.
That's cool.
Mostly on my streams now, and my own podcast as well is under them.
I was here we go. I was trying to build up to that. So what's your podcast name, by the way?
So the podcast is called the AOS Podcast with like cute brackets around the cast because Aster. But the focus of that podcast is really to shine a little bit more light on the APAC as well as the OCE scene, because I think for Unite there is a lot of content creation around the teams already in NA and EU, but you don't get a lot of broadcast for APAC and OCE. So true. That was the initial intention of the podcast, and we started it last year, covered a lot of the teams in OCE mainly. They were very supportive of each other, and I think that's really one of the nicest thing about the OCE community is that even though they're competitors against each other, they are very supportive of the community as a whole. Right. So we did a lot of podcasts with them. We also did some podcasts with some of the APAC teams. So we did have OG with us. We had Rise. We had last year AFR as well. So we have representatives from like Singapore, Philippines, Indonesia, and OCE and New Zealand as well. So yeah, that's kind of like what we've been doing. And now we haven't really done so much yet because, you know, it was the off season. The season just started. The February finals just ended recently. So yes. Maybe we'll restart it a little bit with more teams coming on. I think OCE has a pretty good representation this season already. I think EXO was one of the teams that got first this time. So maybe we'll get them over on the podcast. Don't know yet.
Yeah,
looking forward to having more podcasts.
Definitely. More podcasts, the better. Love it. I have your notifications on for Twitch. So the last one that I was able to catch live was Curly Q. Have you had one since?
No, I don't think so. Because January and February, I mean, until now, it has been quite busy already for the entire year. I just came back from Hokkaido as well, so...
Oh, no, okay. Look at you're busy. Yeah, you're working. Anymore. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, it was nice to have Curly on. It's the first guest that we have that it's not from OCE and APAC, but bring in a lot of thoughts about, you know, these two regions and what she expects out of it. So yeah, definitely something that you guys can go and look out for. Yeah, because I think the whole intention is still to bring more attention to these few regions. And we also managed to cast a bit of the games from India in the ACL together as well. So yeah, more broadcasts and more visibility for other regions as well, like India, who also just kind of came in quite late in the season last year.
Yes.
So yeah, nice to see what the different regions have to offer for this year's UCS.
It is really nice. So, I thought the episode was great. Shout out to Curly Q. Fantastic person, great player, amazing streamer. Really enjoyed the episode. I want to ask for the AOS podcast. You're saying that the competitive scene is coming back. So, do you have a schedule already built for when the shows are going to be live? Or are you currently building when the shows will be coming out? Like, I'm asking, what's the schedule for the AOS podcast so people can... tune in and make sure they're watching.
So the AOS podcast isn't like consistently every month or every week kind of thing. It really happens when there's a team or person that we kind of want to talk to and find out a little bit more about. So I think as the UCS is picking up from February onwards, we will probably have more podcasts coming out, but we would not have a schedule for it yet, although I would say that it would be probably ideal to have at least one podcast every month. I think that would be
yes.
good. So we have a few months towards the UCS finals. I think it should be around August as well. So that's a good 6-7 months from now.
Love that. I wanted to ask so people can know and I make sure that they're locked in. I think it's really cool what you're doing over there. I really enjoy the AOS podcast. It's such a cool energy. And like, I remember one time, I think that was the first time I watched it. I wasn't even aware of it. I swear I was like eating food. I was doing something here and I pulled it up and you guys were on the screen just talking. And I was like, I'll check this out for a few minutes. And that few minutes just turned into the entire thing. And I was like, there to the end of the stream. And I was like, oh my God, like 2 or 3 hours went by. I was like, what the hell? Like, what was I doing before? I guess it doesn't matter because I was just so, it was just so engaging. I was just really locked into the show. So not just a shoutcaster, everybody, Artisan, also an amazing podcaster. Make sure you check out the AOS podcast. So I want to ask, when you do the AOS podcast, do you upload them to YouTube? Where could people find them at as an evergreen library source?
Yeah, you can find it on my YouTube channel. I do upload it there. So it's all there, the ones from last year all the way until the recent one with Curly. I also upload a little bit of tips and tricks kind of stuff. But okay, we don't really do that much YouTube content. Usually I'm on Twitch, so I stream mostly team gameplay, at least like three to five players kind of gameplay. And then sometimes we also have like 1v1s or 2v2 situations in games when people kind of redeem them or like they can redeem if they want me to play certain Pokemon. There's an 80,000 channel point redemption if you want to see me play Garchomp.
Wait,
that was kind of so the idea behind it was to make a statement, right? So it has been there since I think season 3. But the intention was just to say that, you know, Garchomp needs help. Please buff it. And then it was only until recently that I realized it was not a joke anymore because somebody actually redeemed it and I clicked Garchomp for an hour. And it was holy crap, so hard.
Did you say 80,000 channel points?
Yeah, 80,000 channel points.
Somebody redeemed that? Oh my God. I was like, what the hell?
I was like, oh no, I can't believe that actually happened. And I was like, oh, I need to kind of do it because, you know, 80,000 channel points is a lot.
That's a lot. A whole lot of holy. Man, I've had some of my people who watch like forever. Hey man, you should update channel points. And I was like, oh, I should do something crazy and fun. But I know they're probably near that range, you know, so I got to be careful because I don't want to put nothing too crazy and I got
to
do it.
You need to put something that takes up a lot of points and then you have to give them like some small ones to take in between so they don't reach that big one so fast.
So look
like
at have these.
Something that's like 1,000, 2,000, 5,000.
Yeah.
And then suddenly something that's like 80,000. Maybe I should kind of increase it now, huh? Since like I've been streaming for a while and maybe a lot of people have 80,000 channel points. And they want to see me suffer. Oh, no.
Yo, you know what's funny? That makes me think, yo, like, yesterday's price ain't today's price. You know, you can just, you just keep upgrading the channel points.
Inflation is real.
Oh, man. Yo, you're dropping some game on me. Okay. Oh, man. I'm about to hook up my channel point section. That's cool.
Yeah. It's always fun to kind of come up with different stuff and see what people actually like.
Yeah.
See you for on stream.
Oh my goodness, that's some good stuff. Well, I didn't even expect that. That's cool. Yo, so I want to ask about this new information we got coming out. These new Pokemon talked about, Umbreon, Goodra, and Lapras. How do you feel about those three coming to the game?
I think I was really excited about Lapras. Especially looking at the moveset that they have on the PTS servers and looking at all the clips on Twitter. I think Lapras is one of like the OG Pokemons as well. And it's kind of cute because, you know, in the first few games, when you surf, you always surf on the Lapras. And this time they actually brought that back into this game. And I love that they did it that way.
They
really tried to kind of put that in. And the surf is so cute in Unite, where you can just like bring everyone together with you. And
let's go, team.
Such a cute thing to have. I love it.
Man, like you said, the clips on Twitter, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the player called Dunkin' Donuts. He actually lives like 40 minutes away from me, south from me. Ooh. And we're on the same game schedule sometimes. You know, late night, hop online, either on the same team or not. Most time they play against each other, which is not cool. Unite, time out real quick. Please, when you see the homies lob online, put us in the same lobby. stop putting us against each other. Oh, I hate that. But anyway, he put a clip online and it showed Lapras using its move, right? And it has a Decidueye attached. And the Sigilite, in the first one, he has like the sniper arrow aimed up and he's like, bam, and he's shooting. And in the second one, it has the Unite move. And Lapras Unite move. And Lapras is smoothing along and Decidua is right there. And it's just shooting like it's ultimate going across the freaking map. I was like, this shit looks insane. I cannot wait to try it. It looks like so much fun. I can do some combos, some open lobbies, probably standing because we're all going to goof around. Like, this character just seems so cool and unique where I think it'll just shake up what's currently going on. Last night, Cookie Dough said that she likes when new characters come in, have different abilities. How do you feel about characters that come in with different unique abilities instead of the same old push A, push B?
Well, I think the first one that was really different was Hoopa. Because that really changed the way that a lot of competitive teams played Unite, with a lot of the rotations coming in from lanes to lanes. And it was, I think with the introduction of Hoopa, it was when the gameplay became very aggressive in terms of like teams always trying to take fights and then trying to get the lead from there. And I thought that was really interesting. And now we have even more different Pokemons other than Hoopa. Like, I mean, look at Sableye, look at Dragapult, look at Dodrio, and just how much they can do with all the different kinds of moves that they have. I think it just spices things up a little bit. I mean, I saw how Twitter was when Sableye was being overused and like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's still annoying, but it's fun to kind of work around all of these new changes to the game, right? It just makes it more engaging, I feel, because it's no longer, Pokemon Unite is no longer that simple of a game. It's finally having like that kind of complexity, and especially in the competitive scene where you introduce draft mode as well. I think it becomes a lot more exciting to watch, and to see how different teams and players kind of like adapt the gameplay to it is pretty nice to see, because like all the regions have like so many different ways of doing things. So many different ways of countering each of the Pokemon that are picked up, and it's just nice to watch.
It really is. I like how you brought us back to the start of when this really did start to change. And you're right about this. When Hoopa came out, everything changed. It was so different before, but once Hoopa came out, I remember for a while, how can I put this together without blabbing too much? So everything changes. For a great while, I noticed, and everyone knows over time, but the teams that didn't have Hoopa, pretty much both lanes were secure, because said Hoopa player realized the hyperspace portal Hoopas, not the trick ones at the beginning. So the portal ones, they'd open the lanes. And I was like, oh, no longer do we have to take the stairs. We now have an elevator. We just shoot, shoot, top floor, bottom floor. Shout out to my guy, Lucky Guy, one of the coolest Hoopas I know out there. Shout out to Sugar, Gabby, one of the coolest Hoopas I know out there. Hoopa is such a cool character. I love the transporting. I don't think they'll bring another Pokemon like that. It's crazy. You can go from here to there like that. Communication, like, hey, Hoopa, go to the right objective. We'll all be over here. And by being here, four blue circles or orange circles, they'll be distracted. I guarantee at least two of them will come. And then, boom, just rip us over there. And now the whole squad's over there. Artisan. So many times, I've been like, Machamp or whoever, fighting somebody, and then like they just disappear, and I'm like, oh, I beat them. But no, look at the map, they're actually at the bottom ripping the objective. So Hoopa wins. That character's just crazy.
So many things that teams needed to figure out how to work around it at the time, and I think now with more Pokemon that has so much disruption capabilities, it's just so much more exciting to watch as well, like more pools of Pokemon. And now, I mean, with Lapras coming in, with Gudra coming in, with Zacian as well, I think it's gonna be like really exciting, an exciting year for Pokemon Unite for sure. And this is only the second year that we're in Unite, so lots of things that we can expect.
Like we're inside, we're inside year two, it's already coming in. So many things coming in, and it's so exciting only inside of year two. That's a great point. So I'm really excited for whatever Pokemon Day is going to be. I'm excited for Pokemon Day and whatever events they may bring with it. Last year, it felt cool for a start, but I feel like they can really ramp it up and do more. But whatever they bring, we'll be ready for it, and I'm excited. So I have a question. You know, shoutcasting, podcasting, do you ever see yourself getting into tournaments?
So I actually started playing some of the community tournaments in Singapore initially, and that was kind of how I got into shotcasting as well, right? Because you need to understand like competitive gameplay, what are they trying to do, and that kind of helps you to kind of dissect and break down certain things as you're shotcasting. So that was kind of something that I started with, but also at the same time, playing competitively now, probably not. I kind of enjoy the game as something that I play with friends, and also that kind of gives me a lot more time to, you know, instead of just playing the game, I get enough time to watch people play and get to understand the competitive scene in different regions a lot more first. And that kind of helped me shotcast better, which I guess is more of my priority now rather than being a competitive player.
Totally respect it. I like how you pointed that out. You were in tournaments, and that's how it got you into it. But by actually being in tournaments, it'll help you specifically understand what's going on in order to be able to shoutcast it. And maybe that's what my brain was trying to say earlier, and I couldn't think of it. But I was like going on about, for me, I could point certain things out and like get hype in the moment, but like the level like you're at, I really really appreciate it, because to me it's like you have like the macro view, and someone like me, I'm just like tunnel vision on this one little thing. And if I was to get into shotcasting, I would need to learn how to like pull back and have like that 10,000-foot view and see everything and understand it. But you're really great at what you do, so hey, I say keep it going. Me myself, I might enter some tournaments for some fun here and there, but not looking to lose, but I don't fully expect to, you know, dominate and come through and run
I mean,
things, you know?
there's so many community competitions. I mean, you could join, like, I think last year there was like a streamer event that Spreggles hosted. So there are a lot of like tournaments that are very casual, and those are good ways for people who are interested to understand what the competitive scene can look like, get to know more people in the community. And I think these are really fun activities to take part in if, you know, you're getting maybe a little bit bored of like solo queue trios and are just trying to find more people to kind of come and play the game together, learn from each other. I think that has been something that I do enjoy. Like I think I was part of like the GZ Cup, the Bandits Cup as well. And that's kind of how you get to meet more people and also kind of get to experience playing with other people, and you learn so much more from one another by doing it that way. So yeah, you don't have to be competitive to join a tournament. I think there's always something to gain. So yeah, encouraging everyone, even if you're a casual player, to try out competitive gameplay and see for yourself whether it's something that you enjoy.
You were so right about that. And listening to you talk, it made me think, and what I'm about to say is obvious, but only one team gets to win the tournament. So I'm thinking right now, like, what happens to the mindset of everybody else who lost? Are there people who are just down and out and they're done? But it sounds like what you're saying, and I've been part of some of this, but like the people who obviously don't win the tournament, maybe somewhere along the way, like you said, making genuine connections, having real conversations. And then from that, they can network and then build other possibilities post tournament. Because only one team gets to win, right? So, like you said, it's a great opportunity to build something. That's cool. You're right about that.
And I think probably all the competitors go in wanting to win. So, you know, and even if you lost like the previous year, you still can come back in for the next year, right? So
Right.
I think that's what a lot of the players are doing now. Like they might have lost UCS last year, but you know, they're working really hard together, finding people who they can vibe with and joining all these community events happening everywhere to kind of just see where they stand and, you know, what kind of aspects do they need to improve on, and meeting new people to stream with and preparing.
Sorry, artisan. We just got a crazy raid from gym leader Tony, but you were making an amazing point there. Hello, Raiders. Welcome in. We have Artisan on the podcast. Surrender at 5. Please make sure you guys drop her a follow. Support. Amazing person. Amazing personality. Shoutcaster, podcaster. Really loving this episode. So I want to ask a question. Okay. I want to know, what are three Pokemon that you would like to see come to unite in the future? I like to ask
Three
every guest.
Pokemon, wow. three Pokemon. I guess I would love to see Celebi. Okay, I'm going to start with Celebi first because I think there's a lot of potential, right? We already have a Pokemon that time travels. Not really time travels. We have a Pokemon that allows you to teleport from place to place. Mm-hmm. But what if you bring in a Pokemon that allows you to kind of move back a few seconds and reposition yourself for certain fights differently from Hoopa? So it's kind of similar.
Oh, okay.
But it's more micro as well. Yeah. So I think that would be pretty interesting to see how you can kind of play. It would probably be very disruptive as well if it's a move that you can use on maybe the other team. But it just sounds pretty exciting to have like a Pokemon that can time travel and how they might actually bring it in to Unite would be quite interesting for the developers to think about.
Yeah.
I don't really know if that idea makes a lot of sense, but maybe they can think of one better and they would bring it in. Hopefully, you get to see a Celebi in Pokemon Unite.
Okay. So your first one is Celebi. Got it. What about a second pick?
Yeah, two more. Okay, two more. Let's see. What other Pokemon do I want to see? I guess Lickitung might be quite interesting. Mobiles in general, you always have this one Pokemon where you can kind of drag a Pokemon or a character from far towards you. And I feel like that's something that we need in Pokemon Unite. I think that kind of changes the game a lot. And it's also very iconic. So I feel like Lickitung could be that Pokemon for Unite at the very least. Or like those classic mobile players, I think that's something that they would love to see. It's something that is there in League and Dota too. So
that answer, Lickitung, I enjoy it because me myself, I know how sarcastic and spicy my crowd and people are. So when they hear that answer, they're gonna like love it. They're gonna have a field day because there's so many memes and jokes and sarcastic things about Lickitung over here in this region. It's just that's a fantastic answer. That's two. What's your third one?
I think what would be kind of interesting would be a Ditto. I don't even know how it's gonna work.
Oh, a Ditto. Okay.
I mean, maybe it's kind of like Mew.
Yeah.
But instead, your moves are taken from the Pokemon around you instead. That would be kind of interesting. Or maybe like a random transformation. That would be pretty funny to see.
Oh, yeah. It just randomly transforms for X amount of time into something else. Okay. Yeah. Like a Team Rocket Ditto.
I'm not sure how it's going to work, but Ditto sounds like it's full of possibilities. It might work like Mew where you get a lot of movesets. But I don't know, man. It just sounds pretty interesting to not just have certain moves. That are fixed, I guess. Sounds different.
No, I like your thinking. Yo, your three picks here. First of all, shout out to the old school. Love it. But very different. And no way that I ever expect any of these three. I would actually think that's pretty cool. Because didn't Lickitung get an evolution?
Remember? Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the name, unfortunately, but yeah, I'm an OG Pokemon fan. As you can tell from my picks.
So, I found the evolution name. I think it's Lickalilly. And it pretty much looks kind of like Lickitung, but it's what they do. I'll get it on screen for everybody. Yeah, Lickalilly. This thing is really interesting. Let's see if it populates on the camera.
Right
there.
It's so rowdy.
Imagine
and
that.
Pink too.
And Team Pink. Shout out to Team Pink. We love to play the pink Pokemon lobbies. They always dominate. And I don't know if you do custom games, Artisan, anytime, but sometimes we do. We'll spin the wheel. The wheel can choose the Pokemon. It can choose the role. But my favorite is the type wheel. And I love when the wheel ends on the fairy type and our team has to go fairy. Those fairy lobbies, undefeated. If you ever get the chance to do it, have your team go pick fairy types. It is amazing. It is so cool. Not that Lickitung is fairy, but I'm just saying the pink types. So the pink color Pokemon. But anyway, I'm getting all sidetracked. So before we wrap the show up, I want to thank everybody listening on audio. Make sure you guys come check this out on YouTube. Support Artisan, support all the projects we got going on in Unite. I want to ask one more question before we get out here and do our closing and stuff. Sorry, Randomized isn't here to keep me balanced. I guess my brain's all broken and stuff. I miss my boy. Shout out to Random Moss. Just not Sableye. We gotta get him a new main character. He's too good with it. He's been terrorizing everybody out there. So I wanted to know, who are some content creators that you would love to do duo trio queues with? You said you do trios more than anything else. Who are some other content creators that you would love to do trios with?
Well, I've had the honor to stream and try playing with a lot of people, but unfortunately, the pings are like so disruptive. When I play with people in NA, it's kind of red and orange ping, and it's so slow and laggy.
Oh yeah.
Even if I play with the OCE teams, it becomes very laggy as well. So either we're playing, some of us would be green ping, and then the OCE players would be orange ping. But I guess if I were to play with someone, I think I haven't actually played with Draco. He's a really good Desi player. And yeah, we haven't had the chance to cast together either. So I would kind of look forward to that.
Okay.
And maybe
Draco.
Let's see, who else would I want to kind of play Unite with? Maybe it would be pretty interesting to actually play with Teeds, I think.
Oh, super Teeds, yeah.
I mean, she does so much. She does so much content. But I think she doesn't really stream as much. And because of that, we don't really have opportunity to play with her. I wonder how it would be like, kind of play with her.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. So you said Draco and Teeds. Those are some pretty good picks right there. Man, that'd be a crazy lobby. My Switch is going to be off while you guys are online. I'm not messing with that. That's that'd be crazy. Yeah, Teeds, amazing player. Draco, amazing player. Also amazing, like one of the best Decidueyes I've seen. So good that when I play, I'm very sarcastic, laid back, like to have fun. At the same time, through this arc, I've only come across really bad Decidueyes. And when I say bad, I'm going to try to control my rage and my anger. I'm not really mad. It just makes me sick because they never push the B button or the A button, and they don't use basics. And it drives me up a wall, Artisan. I can be here hitting the objective, and they're standing there looking, not even charging the arrow yet. I'm like, what are you doing? And then they start charging the arrow, and it takes forever. And then guess what? Bam, here comes in the other team, and they just take the objective. And it's like, dude, what were you doing? And like, I'll do like a sarcastic rage. I actually get mad on stream. I just do sarcasm, right? And I'm like, what do you think you are, Draco? You're not Draco. What are you doing? And I just say stuff like that. But Draco is such a good Decidueye player. I really think it's not him doing it, but I think people watch him and they're like, oh, I could do that. It's like, nah, man, like, it's a different level. Like, watching Scolded play Delphox, everyone's like, oh, I could do that. Nah, man, it's a different level, you know?
It is. Scolded's Delphox is insanely good. And Draco's the CDI as well.
Yeah.
Probably one of the few reasons that people start playing because of that. And then I guess it's really important to know all the thresholds. But most people don't really do that.
Right.
To play it as well as these players do.
Exactly. Man, Artisan, I want to say thank you so much. This was an awesome episode. I had a lot of fun today. Thank you, for real. So, before we get out of here, is there any projects, streams, things going on that you want to promote before we do our show closing?
I guess this is where most people just self-plug themselves. So if you guys do want to catch my streams, you can find me on twitch.tv Artisan with 3 N's. You can also find me with the same username on Twitter, where I post updates on when I will be streaming. And it is also the same for Instagram if you guys are more interested in the daily life of Arty.
Oh, okay. You're on Insta. Hey, look at that. Definitely gonna grab those plugs. That's cool. Yeah, it's cool to know because a lot of people don't bother outside of what their Unite brand is.
Yeah.
So it's cool to know you have that extra dimension where it's like, yo, this is me IRL. To come check it out. Definitely gonna grab that link.
Yeah.
And plug it into the show notes. Excuse me, into the channel description for YouTube and for all the audio uploads. Very awesome. Definitely gonna follow that channel. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Want to shout out Artisan, everybody in her click, everything going on. Make sure you guys come check the show out on YouTube for those listening in on audio. And you can find me, like, everywhere, Mike Lowry. Artisan, did you know? I didn't talk about this episode because I vented last night. My, it's kind of sad, but my main account in Unite got banned.
Oh, no.
14 days.
What did you do?
That's what I was wondering. We did a 14-hour stream the day prior, came back, logged in, and it said, bam, you're blocked, 14 days. No. Says that I violated terms and policies. And come to do some research, other folks said that my username got changed. So instead of instead of being Mike, I'm now player 41435 at your service. You know, so.
Yeah, I think I have friends whose nickname got changed as well. And I don't know why they changed it for.
I don't know what's going on.
He just randomly
happened to me.
I don't know either.
Jackie Love.
Hopefully your account.
Leaf. Yeah, we're on day six. So I've been doing a Smurf. I called it Mike Slowbro. Been killing the ladder. Loving it, man. 90% win rate. So hey, they might mess around and I might not go back to my main account. I just might be Mike Slowbro forever. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Who needs
Yeah. Who needs a username? Yeah. I don't need to be player 414 or whatever number it is. So, once again, appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you very much. And since Random Moss isn't here, I have to go back to doing the sign-off. But we have a sign-off here. So, for those who queue against us, not with us, because for a while it was getting a little murky here and people were surrendering on my team. Whoa, 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 whoa. For those who queue against us, when you see us online, surrender at 5.
Thanks for having me.
Yo, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.